Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Jam Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1999. The topic is mindset, and the title is Finding Happiness in Challenge. A listener sent in a message that prompted today's podcast, and I loved it. I loved the discussion. So I wanted to share that, and then let's talk it through. They wrote, "I want to feel happy in life, but I find that the more I pursue happiness, the less happy I am. I don't know if this will make sense, but I feel as though listening to your podcast for the last 2 years that you'll understand. When pursuing happiness, I shy away from challenge. But when I shy away from challenge, I feel stagnant, which makes me feel unhappy. How do you find happiness in challenge?" Now, they went on to write some nice things, so thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. But that was the question that I loved, and really, I love it because it hits right on a note of where I'm at in life, is how do you find happiness in challenge? I love this question because I think a lot of people struggle with this even without knowing it. Is we often associate happiness with a feeling of contentment and just enjoying what we have. But yet we have this urge, this desire to continue to grow and develop and become more. Now, it doesn't mean we have to have more or earn more. Possessions and money are, you know, an indicator of things progressing in your life, but you just want to be more. Like, you just want to be better. bigger, faster, stronger, leaner. You want to be better in discipline. You want to be better in your job. You want to be better in finances. You want to be better just with, like, oh my gosh, everything. Like, I don't know if it's a proper healthy amount. I don't know how much about me is healthy, but just this desire to want to be better is something that is in me, and I'm very appreciative for it, because anytime I get lazy, I get very frustrated with being lazy very quickly. But I want to continue to get better. And that feels as though it's a contrast to happiness. It's a contrast to what society says you should do, which is just to be content with what you have. Just because I pursue more doesn't mean I'm discrediting what I have. It doesn't mean I'm not grateful for what I have. The desire to become better is just an innate part of me. And I think that's what this listener is struggling with, is there's one part of them that believes that happiness comes in contentment, but another part of them can't be happy unless they're pushing for more. So this becomes like a dichotomy of feelings, a struggle internally. We're wanting happiness, which is typically best felt in moments of calmness and contentment. But we want to make progress in life, which is only made through chaos and challenge. So I want to be happy with what I have, and I want to slow down enough to enjoy it. But I don't want to be complacent. I want to continue to make progress, continue to grow, which it feels as though requires some degree of discontentment in a relentless pace of work. How can I be happy with what I have and enjoy it while I want to pursue more and have to work extra hard to achieve it? It seems as though those two can't coexist. But I'm a stubborn human being, so I'm determined to figure it out. I believe that they can. And I'm in the process of trying to find that. And what I'm working on is being purposeful, being aware, being purposeful, being very careful with my mindset and my schedule, my thoughts, my time, my energy. Planning when to slow down and enjoy what I have, but planning when to push harder, pushing for more. It requires margin and boundaries, and the understanding that there will be seasons, prolonged moments, where you might be in a prolonged moment of enjoyment and stagnation, and then a prolonged moment of pushing and discontentment and challenge and chaos, wanting to grow. And likely those won't always be in balance. So what do I mean by that? When it comes to margin and boundaries, it's understanding that margin and boundaries are necessary, not just nice to do's, they're actually necessary, and that they require planning. To help create a balance of enjoying what you have versus pushing for more, it's important to set boundaries and incorporate some degree of margin. It reminds me of the quote, "Let whatever you do today be enough." Meaning, I'm going to work hard for part of the day, and then I'm going to stop and let that be enough. So how am I working on this? On average, Meredith and I wake up between 5:30 to 7 in the morning. It varies a little bit, sometimes a little earlier, usually not at all later. But sometimes we'll be, you know, fired up for life and we'll get up actually a little earlier than 5:30. But 5:30 to 7 is kind of our usual window. Some mornings we sleep in till 7 if we're both especially tired. But typically 5:30 is when we get up. What I do first in the day varies a little bit. But I start at 6 a.m. with checking things off my to-do list for the day. So at 6 o'clock, I'm starting into my day where I am purposeful with each thing I do, making sure that it checks off something on my list. My list of things that I want to do every day requires 6 hours a day to get everything done. But I allow myself from 6 a.m. until 5 p.m. to complete it. So I give myself 11 hours to complete 6 hours of work. That sounds weird. It sounds like possibly excessive margin. However, this is to ensure that even on days I don't start until, say, 7:30, because we sleep in a little bit, that I still have time to get all 6 hours of work in. And on days where we have doctor's appointments, on days I have extra Zoom consultations, on days there's extra work around the house, on days when unexpected, uncommon, unscheduled events happen, I will still have 6 hours to get the work in that I need to. Even if random things consume a significant portion of my day, even up to 3 or 4 hours of my day. On the days that these random events don't get in the way, I just spend extra time doing the 6 hours worth of work. The 6 hours is a absolute baseline minimum. It's the least I can do and feel like things are as expected, going as expected, and going to progress as expected. Meaning, it's not 6 hours to stay the same, it's 6 hours to stay the same and grow a little. But it's just the least amount. So if I have extra time, rather than making an Instagram post, that rather than making it a quick version, which I can do in like 10 minutes, maybe I'll spend 20 minutes editing it, making some extra little voiceovers, extra clips and changes in the screen, making it a little more visibly enjoyable or interesting. So there are quick versions of posts, but then there are longer versions of posts. So on the days I have extra time, I'll take the time to make it better. There's definitely just an endless degree of visual presentation when it comes to social media. You essentially have 2 or 3 seconds to get people's attention and try to hold that attention if you're looking for people who are just scrolling past. If it's somebody who's going to my page specifically to see what I posted that day, they're going to be more patient and they're going to actually follow along in the video a lot longer. But it still has to be somewhat interesting for them to stay. But it's a challenge. I can spend 10 minutes and post something, and something is better than nothing. I could spend an hour editing a minute and a half video. And I guarantee there are people that spend longer than that editing a minute and a half video. But what am I going to get on a return on that hour? Am I really going to get, you know, an extra 10 clients out of a highest quality possible minute and a half video versus an okay minute and a half video, right? So the 6 hours I set aside in my 11-hour window is the minimums. So when I have extra time, I'll spend extra time on those elements. Or maybe I'll actually spend time on a future project, something I want to develop, but I don't really usually regulate as a regular thing. Or maybe I'll spend extra time in learning opportunities. I'll check out a couple extra YouTube videos or listen to an audiobook. I'll just spend a little extra time learning. So my 6 hours of work per day is the minimum to keep things as is and to keep the same expected rate of growth. But in those extra moments, I can push for more. But that's my time frame. From about 30 minutes after I wake up until 5 p.m. That's the time of the day, the boundaries, the edges, the walls of when I will push for progress. Then at 5 p.m., I stop. I check in with Meredith because that's usually when she's finishing up her work around that time. See what, like, how her day's been and what she needs. And then we kind of do things together in the evening, just kind of chill and do projects around the house, just hang out, go for a walk. You know, maybe we have to run to CVS for something. Whatever it is, we just have time in the evening together, which is awesome and I love it. Then around 7:30, 8 o'clock, somewhere in there, I'll cook dinner for us. We eat and chat. And then usually we're wrapping up our day around 9 o'clock. And hopefully if everything goes well, we're in bed by 10. That's kind of the plan. So from 5 to 10, I enjoy what I have, which includes who I have. So very grateful for Meredith in my life. But that's my enjoyment. That's my contentment. That's the just look around and see what you got, man. You know, you were just pushing all day to try to get more, 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 more. Now stop. Take a breath and enjoy what you have. Remember who you're pushing for. Remember what you've achieved so far. And it's helpful to have that balance, to have the definitive lines of when I can be in the mindset of pushing for progress versus the mindset of enjoying what I have. It's very helpful because if I had that push for progress mindset in the evenings, I might not be as attentive to Meredith, which I don't want to ever do. I'm just not going to enjoy the things around me because I'm constantly thinking about what I need to do next or what am I going to get next or like how am I going to work on tomorrow, like next, you know. Rather than having that next mindset, I want to enjoy where I'm at. So I know, okay, 5 o'clock, change my brain, switch it over. And that is very, very helpful for me. Does this work every day? No. Damn, I wish it did, but it doesn't. But it works most of the time. And it gives me a reference to kind of judge each day as I go through the day. So having a plan keeps me closer to the plan, even if I'm not following the plan. So I don't make a plan to follow it. I make a plan to be guided by it. A little bit of a difference there. But that helps a lot. Oh my gosh, does that help a lot. Having boundaries to when you think of pushing versus when you think of contentment. And then having margin, making sure that there's space in when you push for things not to go perfect, because they won't. So if you have 4 hours a day, don't plan 4 hours of pushing. Plan maybe 3. And give yourself a little extra margin in case things don't go well. I was trying to type up something last night. I think it was like 4:45 or 4:50, and I was wanting to get something done before the 5 o'clock timeline, and my computer froze. So that's always fun. So I had to like turn the computer off, wait for it to reboot, to get back into the program. I ended up finishing up, I think it was like 5:15 or 5:20. So I went over, and that's, you know, that's the way it is sometimes. But knowing that the 5 o'clock was coming pushed me to try to get into that project to finish it up. So it was only 15 or 20 minutes over, not an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. So those plans, they help keep you closer to the plan. So what helped me set up this routine? If this is something that you want to set up, you're not going to, your times and frames and all that stuff aren't going to look the same. But the idea of segmenting your day and saying, okay, in this part of the day, I'm going to think of pushing and progressing. In this part of the day, I'm going to think of contentment and enjoyment. What helps? Well, setting your progress priorities, meaning for me in business, what are the most important things I need to do when, you know, shit hits the fan? What is the baseline of stuff that I absolutely need to do? And a principle that helps with that is the 80-20 principle. It's not a hard set number, but the concept is out of 100% that you do, 20% of what you do brings 80% of the positive return, and 80% of what you do is kind of like 20% fluff on top. So there's a core 20% that brings the 80% of the results that you need. What is that 20% for you? So for me, I try to make the podcast every day. I try to work out every day because if I look good, it helps with business. That's just truth. So I want to continue to look better. I want to get bigger and leaner and just look better in the videos, because then it gives me more instant credibility when somebody starts to watch a video. If I look good, people will be more willing to listen. So then that helps them get the information to start to be processed. And then they like, oh my gosh, maybe this guy knows some things that could help me. And then all of a sudden, I'm able to help them. They get help that they need in life. So me looking better helps. So I need to, and I've learned to, prioritize my health for that. So podcast every day, training every day. I eat well every day. I take care of my nutrition. I check in with my clients. That's next on the list. I got to take care of the people I have. And then I focus on getting more, which would be making social media posts and growth opportunities, returning emails, things like that. So even when chaotic things happen, and actually just this week we've had some chaos happen, as it always does, it comes around. But we had chaos happen, and I am actually behind in my check-ins. We went on a trip to Miami with Meredith's executive MBA at Kellogg. So we did that on the weekend, then we came home to some chaos, and I've been behind on check-ins. And that's something that I'm aware of and I'm pushing back into, but it helps me to know kind of where my priorities are in business, to say, okay, what can I get rid of so I can respond to people faster that won't immediately hurt the business. So we've talked about this in the past. There was a past podcast I made called Dropping the Right Ball, and that in life you're juggling a lot. You're juggling a lot of things. Some of the things are equivalent to a glass ball, and some of them are a rubber ball. Some things you can drop, they'll bounce back into rotation. Other things, if you drop, they shatter. It's important to understand which are the glass balls and which are the rubber balls. And it's important to understand what is the core of what you need to do to get the majority of the results. So planning all that is important. Once you know it, okay, what's the minimum time I need to accomplish each of those things? When is the best time to do them? When is the second best time to do them? Then you're always going to be refining those elements, and you need to create the margin for random events and say, okay, if it's going to take me 3 hours a day to do my minimum, or 4 hours or 5 hours or 6 hours, I need to plan more than that in case things don't go perfectly, which they won't. And then you need to give yourself a cutoff time. Remember the quote, let whatever you do today be enough. Give yourself a cutoff time. So if somebody works 9 to 5, there's your cutoff. 5 p.m., work stays at work. You take your body and your brain home with a home-focused body and brain. If you don't have definitive hours like that, you got to create them for yourself. The next thing is seasons of life, like understanding and planning for seasons. Setting boundaries and margin are helpful on like a day-to-day basis or a weekly basis, but life doesn't follow consistent patterns, and there will be times when certain goals could be more optimized or would be significantly harder to achieve. So it's important to plan that accordingly. A quick and easy example is dieting for fat loss. is, you know, the best time to do it is January 1st, because the least amount of holidays you got from January to like Easter with a pretty consistent routine and not a lot of things get in the way. Whereas the worst time to diet would be in the end of October, because you got Halloween, then November, you got Thanksgiving, then in December, you got, you know, Christmas, and it just seems to be around those times are the majority of holidays. And that just seem to be high frequency. They also involve a lot of travel. They involve days off of work. That just your consistency of routine will be shattered during those months. With this in mind, you can know that, okay, during the season of January to, say, April would be a great time to dedicate extra time and energy towards a fat loss goal. During that time, you can push harder into progress than enjoyment, knowing that it's an investment into more enjoyment later. So if you're uncomfortable and really pushing yourself through January to April, really long stretch, hard, tough, progress-focused stretch. But then, come summer, when you feel more comfortable with your body, you get to enjoy it more. You get to eat a little more fun foods. You get to, you know, go out in a boat, to go out in the lake, go out in the water, whatever it is that you do, and feel better and more confident with how you look, given that in the summer weather, we tend to wear the least amount of clothes, you know? So that stretch of January to April could be a great time to be uncomfortable. Because then from that uncomfortable, that investment of challenge, you can then have more enjoyment and comfort and contentment in the summer. So understanding seasons can help you better accept when to push for progress and willingly accept less enjoyment and contentment for that time period. And it can help to understand when would be a disadvantageous time to do that. Say trying to diet during the holidays. Doesn't mean you can't make some progress. It's just if progress is probably going to be slower, you're going to have a lot more interruptions. So it can be helpful to understand that that might not be the best time to try to hyper-focus into consistency of routine and pushing for progress. That might be a better time of, hey, let me, you know, do the minimums. Let me pull back on that. I'm still going to make some progress. I don't want to go backwards. But let me focus on enjoying time with my family. During those times, it's best to find mental peace in maximizing your enjoyment. Maximize time with family, maximize time with your hobbies, or you can even use that time to prepare for an upcoming kind of progressing, pushing season. You can read books, watch videos, learn and prepare, make a plan, get your mind ready for that upcoming season. But understanding that happiness is found in both moments of calmness and contentment, and in moments of pushing for more. Happiness isn't only when we're lazy, when we're not progressing, when we're just sitting back, you know, fingers crossed, hands behind our head, just laying back and enjoying life. Yeah, that is happy. But happiness is also in pushing yourself, challenging yourself. Happiness can be when you're uncomfortable. You can find happiness in discomfort. That sounds weird, but it's true. Knowing that the discomfort is an investment into yourself, knowing that the discomfort is progressing and growing yourself, that can make you happy. You can actually experience discomfort and say, yes, oh man, if I make it through this, if I grind my way through this, can you imagine what is going to wait for me on the other side? What is life going to look like on the other side of this? That can be exciting. And that excitement can create happiness. If you define happiness as only when things are easy, then you're going to struggle with happiness. such as the case with this listener, and with my older mindset. Knowing that happiness exists in both contentment and pushing for more is the key. So when you're in the moments of pushing for more, in the moments of discomfort, remind yourself that happiness is when I'm challenging myself. Happiness is when I'm growing myself. I can be happy and uncomfortable at the same time. I hope you think through that. I hope you work on it. If you are struggling with this sense that the more you pursue happiness, the less happy you feel, if you're struggling with shying away from challenge to feel happy, but then shying away from challenge makes you feel stagnant and then you're not happy, if you struggle with that, work on building margin in your life, setting boundaries within your life, and understanding the seasons of life. Work on being purposeful with when you push for more versus when you enjoy what you have. If you give each of those time and attention that's specified for each, you're not mixing them, you're not muddling the waters. When you're pushing for progress, you're pushing for progress, you're all in. When you're slowing down and enjoying what you have, you're slowing down and enjoying what you have, you're all in. Be purposeful. And in both, you'll find happiness. If you have any questions, if you need anything, go to our website, www.brittleirongym.com. Tons of free information on there, and you can also scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and there's a contact form. You can also send me any questions or emails. So thank you for those who do. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people we can help. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brittle Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.